Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstcclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, look at this. It's 5 o'clock, hour 4 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're 20 minutes from the expressway, 40 minutes from L.A. Live with Lucius. Jory Epstein, Yahoo writer for the Cowboys, USA Today.
Yeah, NFL senior writer for Yahoo. Yes. Yeah.
Man, doing a terrific job. You knew her and loved her with the morning news. And she's done some incredible Cowboys stories over the years. She's going to join us in 1 hour, Brian.
I'm just laughing. Did you want to add anything else? No. New York Times.
Yeah.
Washington Athletic. Post.
Yeah.
Athletic.
You know, or she dominates coverage.
She does dominate coverage.
Okay, and it's time now for an edition of Football's Finest. Here's the Chief.
Adam Schefter says that he would guess that we don't see Daniel Jones play another down for the Giants.
See you later.
The season's going to be
too
over.
Bad. And that glorious and hilarious.
One step to success there.
What's your favorite Daniel Jones moment? Is there anything better than the breakaway falling down?
Oh, that's exactly what came to mind for me.
There's nothing more visually funny than that, even though it is. I do enjoy the cut-ups of him having multiple open wide receivers and just throwing the ball into no man's land.
Yeah.
Week in, week out.
He did
out.
That a couple times last week.
Don't know what to do with it.
Me.
It's like you got two guys open. Let's just throw it in between them, and nobody will be able to get it.
You know, listening to Stink there talk about how Mahomes struggles, I think that's really everything that's come down to it with the Cowboys this year. Just speeding the quarterback up, forcing quicker decisions. Even the greats are going to really, really struggle when you can, get some pressure. And I think that's line item number one for salvaging what is left of Dak Prescott's career, is giving him time, allowing him to play at his own pace as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that would go a long way. You got to build this thing out in the trenches, and that's going to be the plan. That's going to be the plan, right, boys?
I'm all about the trench play.
Build out the trenches.
Yeah. I think so. If you can't get a great offensive lineman, like there isn't the tackle there, wherever you're picking, top five, top ten, that's an automatic trade down. Mm-hmm. We're moving down into the middle of the first round. We're taking the best offensive lineman there and picking up additional draft capital.
Here for it. Totally here for it.
Who is more important for him going forward, because you're with the money situation stuff? Is it stockpiling offensive linemen or getting offensive weapons with backs, tight ends, and receivers?
I think it's the line.
I think it's the line.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's the line, and then
if they get the line fixed, you feel like they could win with mid-level receiver. Well, they'll have one receiver that they've got.
Yeah,
line.
You got CD. Yeah.
But right now you've got just one receiver, right?
Yeah, one all-pro caliber guy, and then maybe one other dude who makes some Pro Bowls and then some solid starters elsewhere. I think that could definitely work. I think we've seen in the past where he's got a number of weapons, and if the protection isn't there, then it kind of looks like what it's looked like this year at times.
Yeah, you had Amari, CD, Gallup, Cedric Wilson, all there, and they put up 17 points in the wild card round against the Niners. So he's had the weapons where you look at and you're like, okay, this is pretty damn good.
That's fair.
I think it really all comes back to the line of scrimmage and on both sides of the football. Because the defensive line's not where it needs to be either. So to me,
that's when the Niners were at their best too. They were like, great defensive line, two awesome linebackers, so secondary. We're good. I think attacking the trenches has to be the focus. Now, the problem with that is those guys don't sell TV ratings or jerseys.
No.
Sorry, I'll leave it at that.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And I think that we get consumed with like a lot of the skill players, especially when we talk about in the first round. And I think it's just like it's fascinating because I think you go back to what are positions where they don't have to be reliant on others to be successful.
Yes.
As a wide receiver, I need to make sure my line's good to give my quarterback time, and I need to make sure my quarterback's okay to get me the football. As a running back, we say, okay, are they as good as their offensive line? You're reliant on them. As a quarterback, hey, that's the most important position, but you're still, how good's your line to an extent? How good's the weapons around you, right? I think offensive line and defensive line, you're dictating by yourself in your one-on-one matchup, how effective can I be on this snap?
Do you feel like you have to replace three of the five positions on your offensive line? Or do you feel like four or five?
I think three.
I think two.
Maybe two, yeah. We'll see with Guyton.
And it might end up just being one, but I think that, yeah, if you move Guyton to right tackle, I think Guyton can be a starter in the league. I'm not giving up on Tyler Guyton.
No, I mean.
But
I mean,
he might, so left tackle might be one, although you've got Tyler Smith who you could play at left tackle. I know they don't want to do that.
They won't do that. And you saw it last week why they didn't want to do it. That's why they started.
Yeah.
Awesome Richards. They felt so strongly about what was going on at defensive tackle for the Eagles.
Yeah.
They did not want to take Tyler Smith out of that spot.
I mean, you could find a great guard in the middle of the first round if you did my trade back idea. You know, if you did want to kick Tyler out to left tackle and you could find a super strong guard like staring you there at 16 or something like that, I think that could be a really good way to do it. And it gives you options. You know, if you're inside the top 10 and you want to take a tackle, you do that, you know, and move Guyton out to right. But the other thing is Terrence Steele's contract, they're probably not looking to move on from him for at least another year. So it might be a game of musical chairs and trying to figure out what works while we build and hopefully taking the long-term view of everything along the way.
I wonder if just Terrence Steele has a lot to do with, and he hasn't played great. I mean, there's been times where he has been fine, but other times not up to what we were hopeful. I wonder if the coaching thing was a problem for him. I wonder if a coaching thing was a problem for all the whole offensive line. I wonder if
we've certainly seen it huge.
Yeah. I wonder if Mike Solari has been a negative gain for this. If that's the right way to
subtraction by addition,
you know, the wrong coach can wreak havoc. Six or seven years ago, that whole disaster with Alexander coming over from Cincinnati.
Yeah, high hand, low hand.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, with the catch up.
We're talking Paul Alexander, former offensive line coach.
He's my middle name.
He's Alexander's always screwing things
up. Come on, man.
I do think it starts, of course, with the what you're going to do at coach and who's your offensive coordinator.
I'm telling you, man. That's
the one thing Dak hasn't had. We can talk about he's had an offensive line. He's had weapons. At times, he's had both. But he's never had a wizard as an offensive play caller. So I would love to see them start there.
What if they were to hire Kellen Moore?
And be...
As the head coach?
Yes.
It'd just be gross.
No.
They know that the public reaction will be bad. I think Jerry wants some hype.
Do you think they care what the public reaction is?
Absolutely. I think they're very knee-jerk reactive to the public reaction.
It's tough because if they were, they'd close the curtains.
They'd have curtains.
Things are going to be so down with the football team.
That's one thing where Jerry, that's mine. I'm not doing that.
50% of this population seems like they wanted nothing to do with Dak Prescott being signed back, right?
50% of the sports radio audience. Right.
Brian, we just saw 2 weeks ago, 3 hours after the game, Jerry says, I'm more interested in making a trade now than I was 3 hours ago. The game and the public now just like quitting on this football team.
No.
Essentially, it was a reason why he went and got Jonathan Mingo.
I think he made that trade because he was promising so many things and was delivering on none of them.
Yeah, which is the public perception, right?
It was him. It was him saying, I keep telling you I'm going to do something and I'm not doing anything. He told you about all in.
But why would he feel that way?
He would feel that way because he hasn't delivered on anything. He went up there. Everything he said has been about him. Like it all started with all in.
Yeah.
And it just went on and on and on and on. And he hasn't delivered on any of those things.
But why would he feel he hasn't delivered on them, right? Because his people are saying that.
If that's the case again, then there would have been curtains there 3 years ago.
I think that's just the stubborn nature.
I think it's always going to be prevalent here with that.
I think you're right on that.
Yeah.
100%.
Steven's always apologizing, you know, I'm sorry to the fan, Jerry apologizing the fan base. You know, you could be right in that way, but I just kind of feel like though that this thing is to me, if you've got to get, you can't miss on this coach. you can't miss on this. And hell, Mike McCarthy for a while there, he did a fine job for you. He really, really did. But, you know, when he took over calling the offense, that's when I think things went south for him. That his insistence of being the offensive coordinator is what led to his demise, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if they would have moved on from Kellen Moore and brought in somebody else that was better, that would have been cool. But sticking with Kellen Moore, they'd probably be in a similar position. You know, their offense was, we knew their offense couldn't go toe-to-toe versus Philadelphia's legit
offense,
defenses.
Philadelphia's offense looks somewhat different, right?
Yeah, but I think how much of that is because they have one of the best run game coordinators and offensive line coaches in the league in Stoutland. And here he wouldn't have had that.
I feel like, though, that, well, you know, maybe they would have had a situation where that it, do you think Joe Philbin? I mean, when they were winning 12 games and stuff, Joe Philbin was your offensive line coach. I think Jerry Jones didn't think that Joe Philbin can coach. And I think the coaches felt like that he could coach. The coaches and the players, I feel like Jerry Jones determined that he couldn't be the coach, or he wasn't a good enough line coach. And then you go get Mike Solari, who really, that to me, that right there signal Mike McCarthy being play caller, changing your offensive line coach, those are the things why your offense is not any good right now. And some of the personnel stuff with the running back situation, and then some of the stuff with the offensive line, the growing pains you had with a couple of guys.
Well, we have local legend Kyler Murray dominating the sport right now.
He really is playing great.
And I know, Wolchuk, that is it's one of your high school nemesis that is having probably the best season of his career to this point. We've seen...
He almost got decapitated the other day. I was so worried about that, bro.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I meant to do that yesterday when talking about the most wild plays of the football weekend. There was a Jet player that it sent Kyler's helmet. It looked like Eric Hipple or whatever.
Eric Hipple, yeah.
It was cartoonishly... It was a ridiculous hit, man.
Oh, Eric Hipple.
That was the helmet went flying. And fortunately for Kyler, his own head didn't go with the helmet, but you thought for a second there it might have. But then he comes back in and he's fantastic. Like, the toughness is through the roof with him right now. And he completed 22 of 24 passes. And he completed each one of his final 17 passes of the game. So he will step into next Sunday on a 17-pass consecutive completion streak. And the odds of him completing each of those last 17 passes on Sunday, based on his next gen probability chart, it was less than 1%. It was a 1 in 408 chance that he would have completed his final 17 passes, but he went there and did it. And when you look at all of his numbers, he's leveled up in every single metric. All of it, all of his advanced metrics are much better than what they've been on average from 2019 to 2023. And under pressure, that's the interesting thing. And I think this is kind of a volatile deal. Some guys are just, throughout their career, they're pretty good under pressure. Other guys, they're terrible. He has never been awesome under pressure, but now this year he's like elite under pressure. The pressure's getting home and it doesn't matter. He's still... his numbers are just, they're really, really good, even when pressure's there. So he's playing out of his mind right now, and I want to give him some love for it, including the hit that he took and then bouncing right back up, coming out and then completing 17 for 17 to close the game out. Very, very impressive stuff there. We do have the Texans on Monday night, and their coach, D'Amico Ryans, who is still one of the hottest, youngest coaches in the league right now, and the Texans have a home run with that hire, but he did make an egregious coaching decision over on Sunday night. It was minus 11% in the win percentage model when he decided to kick the field goal late in the game. It was a 58-yard field goal. And of course, it gets missed. It was a 4th and 4, and he absolutely should have gone for it there. Probably should have punted it over kicking the field goal. 58 yards, he misses it, and then Detroit picks it up right there, and they're able to get in field goal range quickly and kick the game winner. But, and it was 11% win probability that he cost his team in that moment.
That's a big chunk.
But isn't their kicker one of those guys that always
he's good from 50-plus, but this is 58, and this is a game-winning 58-yard field goal. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Let me ask you,
because Fairbairn is, outside of our own Brandon Aubrey, one of the best from 50-plus. This is 58.
Would we roast McCarthy if he did the same thing with our guy with Aubrey and he missed?
You know, I think I would, because we're talking about 11%. We're like, a lot of these, we're talking about 1 or 2 percentage points when we're arguing you should have gone for it.
This is 11%. A little bit of a gut feeling, though, that your guy's not missing 50-yard field
goals. In the moment, I wouldn't have roasted him for doing it if it was Brandon Aubrey, just because we feel so good about Aubrey.
And I think they had to feel good about...
But hindsight, I mean, you see 11%, which, I mean, we're not privy to in the moment necessarily, unless, I mean, you know where to look for that. But
I'm just saying,
that is a lot.
Dude makes 50-yard field goals. I mean, he with some regularity. He does. Like, he's
game on the line now. So now you've cranked up the pressure on him, and it's 58. You know, it's not 51.
Okay, you punt and you still lose the game. How are you feeling about that if you've got a dude that's making 50-yard field goals?
Yeah, there will be some second guess special.
Yeah, I think you're second guessing him now.
We're talking about 11%.
I'm telling you, man, if they punt that ball and the Lions still drive the field and kick the game winner, you're kicking his ass for not going for a field goal.
Well, I'm kicking his ass for not going for it on 4th and 4 when that's what he should have done. He should have gone for it because, again, we're talking about 11%. Your win probability swings by going for it or kicking the field goal. You kicked the field goal. That was probably the worst of your three options right there, which were go for it, punt, or kick it.
I'm just saying, man, that dude's knocking home 50-yard field goals every week. And I mean, that to me, that right there is just unfortunate. You didn't make a play. You lost the game because your guy who makes 50-yard field goals didn't make
one. Come up for you there.
Yeah. And I swear to God, Eric, you are kicking his ass. If they punt the ball and all of a sudden they throw one to St. Brown and now it's in field goal range and you're going, dude, you had it. Your kicker's 12 of 14 from 50 plus. You're kicking his ass. 11% or not, you're kicking his ass.
All right. Well, there it is. That's the truth.
I'm just saying, man.
Somebody ass. Have a gavel, smash it.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm kicking just saying,
ass.
Bro. But come on, man. Right?
I'm asking him to go for it. I'm not asking him to punt it, even though the win percentage points do show that you probably should punt it there. But either way, over kicking the field goal. But what he should have done is give his team a 11% chance better to win going for it on 4th and 4 is probably what he should have done. Yeah. But you're right. The second guess specials are real, and we can all play Tuesday morning quarterback.
No, I know that to me that if they try the field goal with Aubrey and they miss it, then you know what? We put our best out there.
We'd have lived with that. I don't know about
the Texans.
We
put our best out there. Yeah, and it didn't work.
No, it did not work. Okay, well, let's go into the Expressway commercial free to the top of the hour. We'll get you to LA Live as quickly as possible, and we have some football sounds of the day.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
for you next year on The Fan. All right, thanks to the on-time experts allowing us to go commercial-free here to the top of the hour, and we will get you to LA Live here as quickly as possible with Lucius Alexander. It is the G-Bag Nation. We have some football sounds of the day to bring you. Shout-out to Cars for Kids and Window Nation. It's also the 5 o'clock football hour. Wolchuk, you know what that means.
Oh, baby, yes, I do. That's presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-Dubs is football, and gosh, we love your wings.
Yes, we do. We're talking Cowboys with Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports coming up at the top of the hour, but yeah, we got to get into a couple of these football clips here, man. It's pretty amazing what's going around the NFL right now. The first thing I want to do is give you the Bears stat of the day. They, of course, are firing people left and right, and people are calling back to draft weekend after Caleb Williams was selected number one overall, and then later on in the draft, the Bears drafted punter Torrey Taylor. And Caleb Williams had texted him, hey, you're not going to punt too much this year. And then the numbers come out, and at this point, Torrey Taylor, the punter for the Bears, has punted for more yards than Caleb Williams has racked up through the air or on the ground. So
it's not good.
It's tough right now, man. It is. And I feel for Caleb Williams because he's been put in a disastrous situation from coaching to bad offensive line. Everything's terrible there. It would just suck to be a Bears fan. It sucks to be a Cowboys fan right now, for sure.
That's for sure.
Being a Bears fan, though, I mean, we all knew you should have fired your head coach just in the offseason, started anew, but you didn't do it, and now things are just falling apart right in front of you. And yesterday on Chicago radio, Matt Eberflus was on doing his weekly segment, and his signal on his phone was bad throughout the interview. And then it gets to this point here where we're going to jump into it. The signal's really, really bad, and then the radio host takes a nice little shot.
We got to pull those experiences.
Coach,
your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now.
All right, we'll put them on hold and see if we can reestablish.
Wow.
Man, that was a good line, though.
It's a pretty good line. I don't know if Eberflus was there to hear it the same way Jerry was there to hear the opening monologue for with Sean and RJ this morning.
Fantastic.
Which, of course, won G-Bag of the Day. We'll hear that here in a few minutes. But, yeah, I thought that was a pretty good line. It was definitely a pretty good line off the cuff there, taking shots. And everybody's down and out in Chicago right now, so I get it.
As they should be. I don't understand the, you know, hey, I want to bench Caleb Williams. But if you're looking out maybe for the young man's future and you're thinking, gosh, we got a gauntlet of a schedule coming up and he is just getting beaten to a pulp and you want to just preserve him, maybe there I could understand the justification. Otherwise, you got to let the rookie quarterback play it out, man. And it's probably just going to be a really, really bad year. I'm sure Justin Fields is feeling somewhat vindicated now as well. As he said to everybody, it was probably the coaching last year too. And I think he was 100% right that Eberflus and the entire hiring process they've got going on there in Chicago is pretty bad right now. But maybe Ben Johnson saves the day.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if the shine hasn't worn off of that entire situation. Now, I want to take you to Sunday Night Football. This is halftime here. It's Detroit, and it's the Texans. And this is before D'Amico Ryans bleeps his team with a bad decision late in the game. This is Man Campbell coming out of the locker room at halftime. He's doing the halftime little moment there with the sideline reporter. And listen, this is just
Stark, huh?
This is just the run that Man Campbell and the Lions are on right now. Listen to what he's asking for, key to victory in the second half, and then you'll hear what happens while he's saying that.
Our defense has to get a couple of takeaways. We're not going to get it all at one chunk here. So just one at a time. We'll do that. We'll play this out until we get 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter before we turn on. But we'll do it. Okay.
He said it. They had to get takeaways, and they...
And they sure did. It was as he was saying it, there was a Detroit Lion defender intercepting the pass from C.J. Stroud. It's just that's the type of run that Man Campbell and the Lions are on right now, dude. It's even when they're down, they're about to just speak into existence that they're on the come up. And apparently the Jared Goff stat of the day yesterday, it was a ball sacking.
Was it?
Yeah.
Stat Muse was even in on this one.
I feel for you on this one. The reason why I know it was a ball sacking is because Aaron Rodgers was doing his hit with McAfee today.
Okay.
And they start talking about the Lions for a second, and he references the Jared Goff stat.
McAfee does?
Yeah, McAfee and Rodgers do. They have a little interaction about it. But then the guy who tweeted out the stat, which was a crazy stat, it says, this is now Jared Goff's seventh career game with at least four interceptions, and he's 6-0 in those games.
Which would have made him 7-0 because they won this one.
That's right. So that was the stat. Like, wow, Jared Goff has had just terrible games where he throws interceptions, but somehow his teams still win. And it gets community noted. And the guy who tweeted out the stat, he clipped the McAfee and Aaron Rodgers conversation about it. And he says, if you ever wondered how easy it is to spread fake information, wow, I made this stat up while laying in bed at halftime of the game.
Yeah, 214, you did say that, but he put a StatMuse thing under it, too. He must have faked it.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So this guy was sitting...
I think if StatMuse is on, I'm like, okay, well, I guess he's fact-checked it.
This guy, at Mr. Civ on Twitter, was just tweeting out ballsack stats.
Walchuk
took it and ran with it. Aaron Rodgers and Pat McAfee did as well, and that is the world we live in. It's just, there's booby traps everywhere. It's
unbelievable.
You have to be very, very careful.
These freaking sackers, man.
Yeah, they're real. Now, what happened on the airplane with the Lions fans?
There was a lot of great content that came from this game. This will actually be cut 17 here, Lucius. But there was a flight coming into Detroit. Bunch of Lion fans on it. And it's the Jake Bates field goal to win the game. And all of a sudden, the flight attendant pops on for the final address announcement as the flight's, I guess, about to land. And Lion fans just lost their minds.
It's been our absolute pleasure to have you on board tonight. So, congratulations, Lions. My apologies. I was given this information.
Yes! No, no!
We win! There must have been one poor Texan fan on that flight yelling, no, no! But the Lions did win it, and all the Lion faithful that were on that flight were very, very happy. But that is a moment where it's like, ma'am, please, no thank you, not now, you can wait 2 seconds, just let's see what happens with this field goal.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you have to read the room better than that. You have to know better in a moment like that. But that I love those Detroit Lions fans. That's a tough place to be, trying to watch the game. I can imagine you, Walchuk, in an airplane, trying to hold yourself together watching a Cowboys game.
I had to do it one time.
Were watching a game on an airplane?
One time was on the road against the Giants. It was when Rod Smith had, I think, maybe a 3-touchdown game. I mean, he had, one of them was
Jalen Smith's brother.
Yes, he had an unbelievable game. One of them was a really long touchdown. The Cowboys did win, and I was coming back from a wedding in Michigan, and I had to watch it on the airplane.
I bet you were a disaster to have to sit next to.
Probably.
Okay, this was funny yesterday. Before Monday Night Football, you have Colin Cowherd and Jason McIntyre doing their radio show, and they're pontificating about what's going to happen on Monday Night Football, and this is bad. Here it is.
Well, the Rams are still not healthy on the interior of their O-line. They're playing a rookie center. They don't want to. They're playing a pretty marginal left guard. So it's still not a great O-line. Is Christian Wilkins playing the D-tackle for the Dolphins?
They're not going to do inactives until a little later today.
So, I mean, I think the Rams could have a little problem running the ball tonight.
He referenced Christian Wilkins and was wondering if he was playing for the Dolphins last night. Of course, he wasn't because he's a Vegas Raider after signing a 4-year, $110 million contract in this past offseason.
Yeah.
So it was a good pull there. I don't know how Christian Wilkins popped into his brain, but he did it right there.
What Dolphin fans players do I know from the last couple of years? And by the way, Bo Limmer, that rookie center that he's talking about, it's been really damn good.
Yeah.
They got him in the 6th round, and that looks like another hit for them. Coming into the game, he had allowed 0 sacks, 1 hit, 1 hurry, 1 pressure. So the rookie center that they don't want to play, they definitely are really thrilled by his performance so far and are very much excited to play him.
Here's Colin Cowherd doing what he does best. That was, he was sort of trying to, I guess, ball sack some people there. Everybody wondering, is Christian Wilkins playing? He doesn't even play for the team. So it was a tough way to kick off his program yesterday. Now, do you have any more clips, or are you have you emptied it?
Did you guys notice last night we had the Tua moment where he throws the interception, and then he goes to try and make a tackle, and he ends up getting kneed in the head.
Oh.
And anything that has to do with Tua being hit in the head is one where we're all just holding our breath, and Tua, of course, had to address a post-game. Take it away, Tua.
Interception, even when they put a tackle.
Yeah, I feel good. Everything's good. I went up to that dude that intercepted me, and asked him, like, bro, you couldn't just like ran out of bounds or like cut back. It was like you seen me and I seen you. Like you wanted to just run me over. He told me after the game there was like he's like there's no room there. Like there was nowhere else to go. So, you know, he got to do what he got to do to help his team win games. And, you know, I wasn't planning on using my head to go hit him.
Stuck your shoulder down there, but I guess his leg kind of did kick, like, the side of your head. You never felt any ill effects from it?
Nah, didn't feel any of that. That was pretty bad tackling for him, though. That was pretty terrible.
It is still crazy seeing A-Chan out there. He's wearing the Guardian cap.
He is.
Tua, who we've been, like, worried. Did we just witness a death on the football field? Just says, no, I don't need to do that. It's okay. I'll be all right.
I can't believe he did that. I mean, it was the same type of play that Mahomes did earlier in the season when he hurt Rishi Rice right there on the sideline. You could end up hurting one of your own players or yourself. That's just got to be a stay away. They have to practice that. All right, Tua, you're going to throw an interception in the game on Sunday. Practice what you're going to do when you do that. And he really should just take a seat right where he is in the pocket when he throws the interception.
Yeah, just take a knee.
Or run run to the opposite side of the field wherever the guy with the ball is. But him throwing his body in there like that was absolutely ridiculous.
Stop.
Who do you guys think is Pro Football Focus's highest graded offensive player on the Cowboys for the season?
Probably Rico.
Highest rated?
Highest graded player on the Cowboys offense this year.
Tyler Smith.
Well, Chuck wins. It was Rico Dowdle.
Well, you gave us the running back PFF numbers. What was it last week? And Rico was like in the top five.
Well, that was the success rates. Yeah. So
they seemed to like him.
Yeah. Yeah. His advanced metrics are pretty solid. He doesn't have quite the volume that you would expect for a guy that's been, you know, as productive as he's been. But he is the highest graded Cowboy for the season, according to Pro Football Focus. And the blocking grades from Sunday. They had Awesome Richards was your, according to Pro Football Focus, your second best pass blocking lineman.
Yeah,
to Tyler Smith.
But the run blocking was low.
The run blocking was
like
46. The worst. It was apparently the worst grade run blocking of all the offensive linemen for the Cowboys on Sunday. Awesome Richards was the worst. Yeah. But his pass blocking was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the Zach Martin stat?
He was your second worst pass blocker on Sunday.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, he's given up. This is from our buddy Brandon Lorry. He's given up 21 pressures this season, according to PFF.
Gave up 7 last week.
That's crazy.
Against Atlanta.
He gave up 21 total pressures all of last season and 24 the season before. There's still 8 games left this year.
Yeah, he has to be so injured that he's barely even getting onto the field on Sundays. From the back, I mean, we were playing the clips in Two Guys, One Booth.
Yeah.
He's broken and battered.
He's playing on one leg and one shoulder right now. I mean, he's battling through a lot of things.
Yeah, he's got a bad back, all that kind of stuff. It's setting in, and it's a bummer. I hate to see it, but it was somewhat of a positive to see Awesome Richards do some pass blocking in a respectful manner on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that could
was.
Be cool. Harry Douglas, the former wide receiver in the NFL who's now with ESPN, was tweeting, and kudos to him, he at least tagged Micah in the tweet. He says, I told y'all Micah Parsons is a phenomenal player, but he talks too damn much. That bleep isn't cute and very disrespectful to his entire locker room on the heels of the comments about Mike McCarthy.
Mm.
And Micah responded, because again, Harry Douglas didn't subtweet
him. That's what
I'm
saying. I at your favorite rapper.
Exactly.
I added him.
So Micah responded, he says, you want some attention, huh? I'm not finna carry your career and boost your following. So there's some, I mean, these players love to, you just saw what James Jones did. Usually you see the players having players' backs.
Yeah.
Not the case.
No, we got infighting.
We do. And the bet online odds for your next Cowboy head coach. Who do you think's the favorite?
Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel.
He's number one.
Numero uno.
And then it's Ben Johnson. Then it's Bill Belichick. Then it's Brian Flores. And then it's Cliff Kingsbury.
Hmm.
If you outside of Ben Johnson, if those are the four, if it's Kingsbury, Flores, Belichick, and Vrabel, what's your pick?
What they would do or what I would do?
What you would do.
Say again?
Vrabel. Kingsbury, Flores, Belichick, Vrabel.
All those guys.
I think I'd go Vrabel.
Ben Johnson.
Yes, yes. Outside of Ben Johnson, because I think that's like he's the leader in the clubhouse.
But he's not part of the act.
He said excluding Ben Johnson.
Excluding, my bad.
Because I don't know if Ben Johnson's going to want to coach here. I don't think a guy with as much opportunities as he's going to have is going to want to tie himself to Jerry.
Of the names you all gave, Vrabel.
You'd go Vrabel,
yeah.
And then you just got to wonder, hey, who's that offensive coordinator that he's going to hire?
That's the trick. You
know, I'd feel the same way about Flores, right?
You know,
who would be Flores' offensive coordinator? I know you're going to be good with defense, and you will add some toughness and attitude and some discipline.
Yeah. If you could tell me who their staff is going to be, I would totally handicap that thing the right way, I think.
Okay, pick your game day sign here from Texas Tech fans from Saturday. Dion's toes are in my fridge. That was one of them. Or Coach Prime likes Rocky Mountain oysters on his tortillas.
Oh, bro.
And they had graphics to go along with it.
Wow, the graphics might set it apart.
Not safe for work.
I think the toes one is pretty funny, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like the toes.
Toes in the fridge?
Toes in the fridge is pretty damn hilarious.
Save them
right
for
there.
Later.
It is official, by the way, Derek Lively, according to Shams Charania, in tonight for your Dallas Mavericks against Golden State.
Beautiful.
He's
all right.
Back.
Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports talking Cowboys top of the hour, but right now it's time for LA Live.
So, Mr. Broadus?
Sir.
We figured out what's going on with my pipes at the house.
Uh-oh.
Apparently some roots grew around the pipes and cracked them.
Cracked them.
Cracked the darn pipes.
Yeah. Right. Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's about $1,200 so far and counting because the guys haven't left.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
you got to, from experience, you got to rock salt your toilets.
What is that? What?
Flush them. The salt does, something about the rock salt makes the roots die.
Really?
And want to leave. Yeah, because I'm having that issue at my place right now, and I'm trying to prolong having to actually fix it.
Good for you. Yeah, because the man was saying something like every 2 to 3 years, this can be a problem if you don't take,
start flushing rock salt.
Where were you, bro? I needed you about 6 months ago, my guy.
Hey, I just learned this. I had the same issue. I had toilets overflowing. Probably 2 months ago.
Damn roots, huh?
Yeah, roots, man. Roots.
They just wrap around they wrap around it?
They find a way to grow into it. They're clogging stuff up.
Yeah.
Man. It's a real disaster.
They grow into the pipe?
Yeah. And my man said he found some wipes in there. Yeah. We don't even flush wipes. I have a bidet. So this is from the people that lived there previously, my guy.
I don't care what they say about flushable wipes. There is no such thing.
No such thing.
Learn
something today. All right, y'all, here we go. Let's get into a Toxic Tuesday version of LA Live right after Mr. Toxic Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance some everything.
Everybody get high.
I don't know what's happened to masculinity the last few years. Masculinity is far everywhere. I'm an alpha, dude. Do you have any idea how many alphas are out there? Every dude that's ever seen a kettlebell, I'm an alpha. It's like, do you know anything about wolves? There's only one alpha. And it's Joe Rogan. It's not you. He's your alpha. And you say what he says. The other day I was thinking, were you? Or are you just listening and repeating? I'm an alpha. No, Joe Rogan's your alpha. He feeds you supplements like a baby bird. He gives you things to say. And like a baby, like, more Joe Rogan. Nom, 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 nom. And you walk around, alpha, yeah.
Some hating right there. Some big time hating. And I do have Alpha Brain with me right here, and I learned about that through Joe Rogan. So, hey.
You like the Alpha Brain stuff?
I do like the Alpha Brain stuff. Yeah, I can control my dreams. Yeah, if I take enough of those, it becomes, like, real vivid. and I can control them, dog. I can go back to sleep and get back into the dream. Wow. I can, before I go to sleep, on the alpha brain, me, I don't know if it goes with, I don't know if everybody experiences this, but me, I can think about what I want to dream about and maybe get there. Like, I get close, you know. That's you might awesome. Not, yeah, you might not see the girl's face, but you see the body.
You know? You see the body.
Yeah, you never see anybody's face. It's nothing like that, but you do see the body. This is L.A. Live for Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in L.A. Live. I appreciate you joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Before I get into the toxic stuff, did y'all see that Quincy Jones left his 7 kids 80 mil apiece?
No, but that is a lot.
That is a lot of bread, dog. 80.
7 kids, one lady, one wife?
7 kids. I don't know.
I know Rashida. Did
he? Yeah, Rashida Jones. I don't know if he left anything to his wife. I just seen the kids situation. 7 kids. And shout out to him, man, because... Wow. I think the kids are with Peggy Lipton. Remember Peggy Lipton at all? Yeah. Quincy Jones and Peggy Lipton made some classics.
Yeah.
Talking about Rashida Jones and Keita Jones and Kenya Jones. Yeah. They made some classics when they collaborated. All right, let's see.
He had a brief affair with Carol Reynolds, and he has a daughter named Rachel.
Okay, Rachel Reynolds.
I guess the rest are with the other one.
With Peggy Lipton. With
Peggy, yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Rashida Jones, Keita Jones, and Kenya Jones right there. Quincy Jones put his, man, he put his magic on that. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is Mr. Jerry Jones. He joined the RJ and Choppy show. Which one of these fools is Chop? And this is how it started.
And I know Jerry would say this when I signed up for, but I do respect him just showing up for all these interviews while all this is happening. Like, this has to be a beating. And he's putting his jaw out there after the game, twice a week with us. That's gotta stink.
There's you always say this in gambling, boy, when this game, you know, It's a bad loss. You got kicked right in the you know what.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been getting kicked there.
But he's showing up for it.
Uh-huh.
And he takes the question, uh-huh. So that's got to be difficult. Yeah. I do respect that.
People pay good money for that.
Getting kicked?
Oh, yeah.
It's kinky like RJ.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Let's bring in Jerry Jones, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to be on with you, and was listening to you there in your monologue real good, and you've got me really good and softened up, so let me have it.
Let me have it. Man, this man knows how to get you, bro. He is such salesman. He knows how to get you.
He does. Yeah.
You can be so mad at him, and he opens the thing like that, and you're like, man, that boy Jerry, though. Yeah, that boy Jerry,
the charisma,
though. Yeah, he knows how to glamour you. He knows how to glamour you. He's like good. A True Blood. All right, let's see here. LA Live, 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Did y'all see Lamar Odom? Have you seen what he done lately?
Okay, is this the doll?
This is the sex doll.
Yeah.
This is 100% the sex doll.
I did see this. Now, I'm nervous about bringing anything to the air because of potential ball sacking, but there was a video of him in the store, so I felt like this has got to be real.
It was real, bro. Yeah, this is a real doll company. The former Los Angeles Laker ordered a custom-made doll designed by... What is this? The Real Doll. Company called The Real Doll.
Real Doll.
He also got it designed like his ex-wife, Khloe Kardashian.
He misses her.
Now, isn't that kind of strange to y'all?
Yes.
This is your ex-wife, and you went and got a sex doll designed just like her. Mm-hmm. He said he wanted a likeness of her for his own reasons. That's what he said. That's quotes for his own reasons. Mm-hmm. The Real Doll price tag is between $5,000 and $9,000. He paid $20,000. So he got some upgrades on his joint.
Wow. Voice activated?
Yeah, he's got some real life upgrades.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't express what I think the upgrades are here on FCC, but. Yeah.
The molding, little birthmarks.
Yeah,
here,
he's got all types of wild
that
stuff.
One freckle.
Oh my gosh. The Real Doll, known for its attention to detail, offers customizable features in color, size, and even personality.
Personality.
Yeah, has a personality. I wonder if he got her personality too. That's creepy, bro.
That is creepy.
That's creepy.
Is this like a robot? kind of doll?
Yeah.
It sounds very much like it.
It sounds like that. It's equipped with interactive models. They have artificial intelligence. So, yeah. Oh, interactive models with artificial intelligence.
I draw the line with the AI there.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy, my guy. Yeah. You went and got your ex-wife as a sex doll with her personality? Anyway,
I would have to do that for, like, if something happened, I would have to bring my wife back for as a sandwich doll, not a sex doll, but like for she makes the best sandwiches.
And so
the
robot,
the
goal, makes sandwiches.
The robot doll I would make just like my wife, and she would that doll's sole purpose would just be to continue making those
sandwich doll.
Come
on over, hon. I need a sandwich.
We have sex dolls. Why don't we have sandwich dolls?
We should have all different
iterations of these dolls.
You know what? If he lost her, I would understand that. If he lost her a time ago, and I mean, like, she's with Abraham now type of vibes, you know, she's up in the bosom of the Lord, then I would understand that. But she's a living person walking around here. I wonder if he got a BBL on it.
Oh, 100%.
He got a BBL on it.
That's restraining order kind of stuff.
100%. That's what I'm feeling. Hey, but Lamar's a wild dude. Somebody in there Google Lamar Odom getting the lap dance at the barbershop.
At the barbershop?
Yeah, at the barbershop. And watch his face when a girl turns around. As she's dancing, she's twerking, and if she just looks back, you know how they look back a little bit? And Lamar just gave her the creepiest stare, bro. Oh, yeah, you see it? God. Look at his face, fool!
Oh, my gosh. This is at a barbershop.
It's at a barbershop.
That is strange.
Full service barbershop?
I wish. I paid about damn near $80 sometimes to get my hair cut, and I ain't never seen nobody in there twerking like that. Yeah. It's a bunch of fools arguing about facts they don't understand.
Yeah.
But it's so entertaining. I love being there. Yeah, you see, that's your boy Lamar. He a wild boy. Look at his eyes.
That is crazy.
Look at his eyes and that little thing be wakata, wakata, wakata. He just looking at it.
Dude is wild.
He's a wild boy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he needs to be stopped. They shouldn't allow this. No. They shouldn't allow this. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Now, you know how these content creators have been posing as underage kids online so they can meet up with dudes, beat the hell out of them, and then put it on the internet to go viral?
Sure.
Content creators.
Yeah, I paid a little. The tally guy?
Yes. Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. You know, they catch a predator and then they have a dude like rapping to the predator as he's getting beat up. It's kind of weird. But yeah, I'll play a little clip of something so you guys kind of have a reminder. This dude right here got caught. They smacked him around a few times.
Say, I'm never going to meet up with children again.
Never going to meet up with children again.
Here comes your little security friends. My favorite. Down. You ready? Chin up, chest out.
They keep going. Anyway, I'm bringing this up to you because 12 students from Salisbury University have been charged with kidnapping a pedo. Can you say pedo? Is that rude? Should I be concerned with how they feel?
No, you should not.
No, you can say it. I believe it.
I don't really think I should be concerned with how they feel, but hey, here we are.
We're shortening everything these days.
Yeah. According to Salisbury police, the victim, who remains unnamed, was targeted due to his sexual preferences. This is sounding kind of strange to me, bro. They set up a fake social media account on Grindr, posing as a 16-year-old to invite the victim. They call this man a victim. To the residence under false pretenses, because he thinks he's about to meet her with some young tender thing.
Sure.
They're calling this man a victim. The victim was ambushed by a group of college-aged men who surrounded him, forcing him to sit in a chair in the middle of the room. And he was punched, kicked, spit on, taunted with derogatory slurs. What's a derogatory slur? They call him a pedo? Is that
probably
a derogatory slur?
Probably more than that, too.
Might be considered one now.
Insane to me.
They're painting him as the victim.
They're painting him as the victim, bro. Like, I get it. If you're a cop, you could probably get to the kids and say, hey, man, you don't have to do this. We can handle that. I understand. But I wouldn't hit him with charges. The victim even tried to flee multiple times, but was thrown to the ground every single time. The assault lasted several minutes before he was finally allowed to leave. The victim ended up with bruises all over his body. Now the 12 suspects, ranging in age from 18 to 21, they're just young, impressionable kids doing what they see online, thinking they're cleaning up the streets, actually.
Vigilantes.
They're facing serious charges, though, including assault, false imprisonment, reckless endangerment, and hate crime charges. What's the hate crime?
I don't know what the hate crime would be here.
What's the hate crime?
Yeah, they hate pedophiles. That's a pretty good thing.
I mean, isn't that natural?
Yeah. Yeah. Is anything happening to the quote unquote victim here?
Tried to see anything. Like, did they hit him with charges? Because he was looking for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see it, bro.
You just get cops in here and you hand him over, I guess. Don't do anything else to him.
Yeah, the false imprisonment I can't get behind. It feels like understandable imprisonment right there. It was true imprisonment.
Now, I know, like, I've seen pedophiles situations where they want to, like, they want to normalize it in a sense. You see, they say they have something going on with their brain. It's chemistry. They can't help it. I don't know, man.
That's how they're getting out of it?
I don't know about that. I can understand, you know, sitting kids down, wagging your finger at them, but I don't know about all of that. I think they just went too far. Here's another crazy thing. Sovereign citizen movement. You guys familiar with the sovereign citizen movement?
No.
I am not.
No.
Sovereign citizens believe they are not under the jurisdiction of federal government and consider themselves exempt from U.S. law. They use a variety of conspiracy theories and falsehoods to justify their beliefs. They're hysterical if you go look them up on YouTube. Great videos, because it's usually guys going off in court or going off on a cop in the car, you know what I'm saying, that type of thing. It's pretty good. The rejection of legal documents such as Social Security numbers, driver's license, vehicle registration, and other forms of government identification leads to frequent interactions with law enforcement. These sovereign citizens are amazing to watch. But I'll never get into it. Plus, I can't keep up with all the laws and stuff they try to cite.
No.
You know, to... Anyway, here's one right here. He's in court, and he goes fully off on his judge. I mean, fully off.
Smyer, you owe this court $168. When do you plan to pay it?
I do not plan to pay it because I don't owe it. Period. End of discussion.
Okay. You're found in contempt. You need to be here in person.
Absolutely not. I will not be coming to your court for any reason.
Bench warrant to issue.
And what you're going to do is find a gunfight and a fight on the side of the road.
Wow. All right.
This court, this fine and fee was paid 10 years ago or more. Now, you can either listen or we can do this out in front of your court.
This is for $168, bro.
Mr.
This fine was paid 10 years ago. Will not be paid again. You damn near shot me and killed me. Are you kidding me? Have you got lost your mind?
30 days in the Washtenaw County Jail. Keep it up. We'll go with more.
Keep it up.
And we'll see you hung in front of Washtenaw County Jail.
Oof.
All right. It threats.
I'm going to report back to the attorney
general. I'm reporting you to the attorney general. Are you nuts?
Everything you're saying is being recorded.
You are a goddamn tyrant.
All right.
I called the goddamn attorney's office and you rejected me. Are you insane?
30 days in the Washtenaw County Jail. Keep it up.
Oh, you'll find yourself in prison, bitch.
Oh.
Right. You think you're a goddamn you're a tyrant.
90 days in the Washtenaw County Jail.
90, that's it?
90.
All right.
90, that's it? Right.
90, yeah.
Okay.
3 months. I don't know. Probably get him along. I mean, that's a real life threat, bro. You said you're going to hang me outside the courthouse.
Yeah, that's a threat.
That's a threat. I'm a federal judge, fam. Jeez. I don't know.
Jeez. Dude,
hella toxic crazy stuff, bro. I still got more toxic stuff, but I'm not going to get to it. I'm going to get on out of here. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise on a butt naked Wednesday. My name is Lucius Alexander. Sometimes L.A. Sometimes LaPaul. Sometimes Lou. I got a whole lot of names. They only call me a few to my face, though. That's a fact. I'll be back. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I holla.
There he is. LaPaul, a.k.a. Lucius Alexander, a.k.a. Zaddy Lucius. L.A. Live every day at 540 here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, let's get back to the Cowboys. You're on your home of America's team. Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports, going to join us next year in the Nation.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, Just take a shot, pass the rest to your entire squad, and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.